it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk New York sports on WFAN, 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Back on the block, man, let me talk to you. About to spit like Jalen Carter, to it. You might have heard me, might have seen me on the fan. They've been waiting for me to drop like CD Lamb. Look, I just need 60 seconds of your time. They asked me for my picks, I asked if I could rhyme. This is my second year, week one already here. And Steelers fans won't have any problems getting here. The terrible towels are taking over MetLife. Hard knocks to hard knock life, living that jet life. I do think this is the year the Jets can get right, but Pittsburgh will cover the spread like a chef's knife. This is Rodgers' Super Bowl, he won't win another title. He thinks he's a god, he's just older than the Bible. Last part of my recital is about division rivals. Jaden Daniels' mom goes where he goes like his iPhone. Some Giants fans want the backup to start. Before the action starts, you want to crash Jackson Dart? Look, JD versus JD is in the future. Russell Wilson is not listening to future. I think the Giants cover, but still end up losers. And Monday night Chicago will not have enough shooters up.
Perfect.
Right back at it on the fan. So that's my little segment that will run on the block. If you listen to 94.7, the block, old school hip hop. Shout out to Skip. Shout out to Keisha. Shout out to all of them over there, for real. Last year, they were like, hey, can you do some picks for us? And if you're familiar with last year, how I approached it, I'm like, I'm going to do picks on WFAN if I do picks. And I don't even like doing picks. Honestly, I didn't do it. I didn't tell you who I think's winning the Super Bowl. I didn't tell you who I think's winning the NFC East. I just think that doesn't matter. And what does that matter? Like, oh, well, Keith said, who cares? But when they asked me for picks, instead of me coming in and being like, good evening, everyone. Keith McPherson from WFAN, and in week one, I will take the Jets. I'm like, can I rhyme? Can I spit? Can I rap? And you've heard me freestyle before if you've been paying attention over the years, and I've kind of stopped doing just the regular raps on WFAN about myself. I think it plays better when I'm doing sports raps, football raps. So every week, Friday, after I think like 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, my weekly segment on the block will air where I'll rap my picks. Now, if you were paying attention to the rap, I obviously am not really giving analysis. I'm just trying to get some bars off. And you hear the picks. But like last year, I didn't do the spread too often. And I don't really think I need to do the spread. It's a hip-hop station. People don't really care about the spread. People don't know the spread unless they gamble. I'm just going to stick to money line picks. So I was correct on all my picks. I thought the Steelers would win. I thought the Commanders would win. And I thought that Chicago would not have enough shooters. I really just felt like they weren't going to have the firepower. Rome Odunze in his second year, Colston Loveland in his first year, Omalade Zaccheaus in his first year with Ben Johnson and the Bears. I don't even know who else they were going to. But anyway, Caleb Williams tried to, you know, do what he could on his own, but they lose to J.J. McCarthy in the Vikings, and I kind of thought that they would. So looking forward to week two. Still taking your calls on week one, the Giants, the Jets, and whatever you saw. You know, like I saw, the Lion is always hungry. Micah Parsons, that sack that he had on Jared Goff looked like something out of National Geographic, you know, Discovery Channel, the lion chasing the gazelle. Trayvon Diggs tweeted out, this can't be real. Of course it's real. Jerry Jones traded away that man for two picks. He's not going to, the Packers are going to be top five team. They just beat the Lions pretty easily in their building. Where are they going over the next couple years with that defense, with that quarterback, with that offense, with that running back? You know what I'm saying? Like, so dumb. You know, you trade away Micah Parsons to the team that has eliminated you. Stupid. But you know what? Jerry Jones can't fire himself. Jerry Jones is the end-all, be-all. He's the GM until he's not able to walk into the building anymore. John Mara, you can fire your GM. You can fire your head coach. Bob is up in Rhode Island on the fan next. Go for it, Bob.
Okay, Keith. I go way back to the Giants when they were the only team in New England. I'm 75 years old. The Patriots weren't even around, and I was a Giant fan. And I never switched to the Patriots. In fact, I rooted against them with Brady. The 6 Super Bowls, I rooted against them. And Eli Manning, I was happy when he beat Brady twice. And all Dayball's good for is eating donuts. And Shine, they should get rid of both of them. They're no good. Buffalo didn't want them with good reason. Are you the new schmoozer?
I think so. I think I'm just, I won't say I'm the new schmoozer, but I'm doing the nights. Thanks for the call, Bob. Is it new at this point? This is my fourth year, I guess. You know what's crazy, too, as you just mentioned that, I was filling something out for somebody earlier yesterday now, and they needed information on WFAN's reach. So I go to ChatGPT, which I do for everything now. I think everybody's up on, you know, artificial intelligence, and at least like ChatGPT, how they can collect information from everything on the internet. Sometimes it glitches, sometimes it's incorrect, but I was looking at ChatGPT, and ChatGPT said that WFAN reaches 1.11 million people, has the power, has that reach to reach 1.11 million people every 15 seconds. And so I'm like, let me see if I can pull this up right now. I'm like, well, damn. I'm like, I did not really realize that. I'm like, man, I done poured my heart into WFAN for 4 years. I done told my whole life story. I done told them everything about me. I'm like, I wonder how many people actually are aware of me. And then, you know, I continued, and I'm like, who is Keith McPherson? How did Keith McPherson make it on WFAN? How many followers? And ChatGPT has all the information. I'm like, sick. But yeah, right here, WFAN holds a 3.1 share of the listening audience among adults ages 6+ in the New York metro area, yada, yada, yada. Where is it? So combining this, WFAN reaches 1.11 million listeners during a typical 15-minute period. That's a strong footprint on one of the nation's largest radio markets. WFAN leads in the key demographic, men 25 to 54. Boomer and Geo's morning show, for example, routinely captures 12.1% share among that group, which is a dominant position in New York sports radio. And so, you know, shout out to Bob 75, who says, I wasn't really following you, Bob. Maybe there's some history that I'm not aware of. I know the Giants were one of the, like, original teams, but, like, yeah, I think, maybe you misspoke, like, when they were in New England. They were never in New England, but I guess, like, maybe there wasn't a New England team, so maybe the Northeast? Or maybe somebody would call and say, no, I don't know, maybe before my time. And you stuck with them? And shout out to people that have stuck with WFAN from the time that I auditioned August 25th, 2021, and then officially took over the nighttime shift for the legendary Steve Summers as he retired. No one will ever replace the schmooze. There is no new schmoozer. If you listen to WFAN, there's nobody close. That's not a knock on myself or anybody else. It's really just props to Steve. Like, I don't know. I've told Steve this, and I've told you guys this. I think his voice, his delivery, his style, his monologues, his comedic presence, his timing. Like, I just think, like, he's such a rare, like, there's no one that can even pretend to do sports talk radio like he does. I never tried to walk in his shoes. I think in the beginning I did a little bit of, you know, I paid homage to him with a little bit of me here, you there, you know, Captain. I think I referred to myself as Captain McMidnight at a couple points, but I've tried to carve out my own lane, my own style, and I've done that, and I thank you for that. And, you know, when I looked at that number and I think about 4 years passing and what I'm able to do and even the conversations that I'm having now and the emails that I'm reading and what people are saying, I'm like, man, I came into WFAN saying that mic is powerful, but, like, I'm still learning, actually, how powerful it is. So shout out to you if you're just listening somewhere with no plans on ever calling. Shout out to you if you've heard my voice at night from 2021, 2, 3, 4, now 5, going into 26. The time just flies by, and I always say, you guys don't get tired of this stuff. You guys don't get tired talking about the same teams. You don't get tired talking about the same GM, coach of the Giants. It's the same thing. It is this. That is what is blowing my mind. Like, I actually fell for it. I actually thought the Giants could beat the Commanders. I didn't say so in my rap. But I did say, I'm like, I think they cover and still end up losers. I thought that they were going to hang with them. I thought that it might have been like a 24-20 game, a 23-20 game, a 20-17 game. You got to score touchdowns. This is the NFL. This is the NFL. Got to score touchdowns, man. And like, what can we, outside of that first year that Brian Daboll won Coach of the Year and they went to the playoffs, what else can we say about, bro? What can you actually say about your head coach? Like, all of this stuff about Josh Allen, stop. He's been, Josh Allen has been a much better player and an MVP years removed from Brian Daboll. You can't give.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Brian Daboll credit for that. You could have in the past. You can't, not these last few years. Josh Allen is a different guy. Are y'all watching Hard Knocks? Did you watch Hard Knocks? And they're showing you how they're working with him and his throwing motion and all this. The guy that he's become, he really ascended into that guy after Brian Daboll. And like, when you see Russell Wilson go out there and look similar to Daniel Jones, and then you see Daniel Jones lighten it up for the Colts, it's like Daniel Jones wasn't the problem. How do you not address the offensive line for real? How do you know that Andrew Thomas is nursing something and he's not going to... Like that has to have a urgency mark over it. Why do you think Malik Nabers is pissed off? Malik Nabers is ready to go. He doesn't have to practice to run his routes. No, he's ready to go. He's trying to get open. The offense is not on schedule, man. It's just... It's tiresome. It's tiresome watching the Giants game, and I'm like, nothing has changed. And when you think about New York sports, that's why I mentioned Tom Thibodeau. He took the Knicks. When you talk about a guy coming in and changing the culture, like, he actually did the impossible with the New York Knicks. And you give credit to Leon Rose bringing in the right players and stuff, but he coached them on the floor. He got the most out of these guys. He got what he could get out of Julius Randle. He's the guy responsible for Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart and leading them and putting... He got to the Eastern Conference Finals. He gave you joy that you have not felt in a long-ass time. 25 years. And they kicked him to the curb. These guys give you pain and misery week in and week out. And as they sold you this optimism about Russell Wilson, and I even sold you a little bit on, okay... This is the year after Saquon. The Saquon hangover, whatever. Saquon's gone. He's an Eagle now. Won the Super Bowl. That's in the past. Last year's season was like, hey, this is the first year without Saquon. I said, they got some new characters in the building. They got some new leaders in the room. I like this team. I like the look of practice in preseason. That's got nothing to do with anything. It's got nothing to do with anything. Sunday, we sat down to watch the New York field goal Giants again, and we were reminded this is what they are. This is what they do. So who's to blame? The guys that drafted the team and that are coaching the team. No one got held accountable. No heads had to roll. Nobody was sacrificed. So what do you expect? Robbie's in Lenox on the fan. What's up, Robbie?
Hey, Keith. Thanks for taking the call. I wanted to talk about the New York football Giants. First of all, I wanted to say congratulations on 4 years. I first started calling you on your first year. And for a 22-year-old kid, I used to say, morning to you and how you be. When I was 22, I started calling Steve in 1987, the overnights when Susan was first on. and I'm 60 years old and I'm talking to you, man. So the beat goes on, and congratulations. I just want to thank you for
being loyal and listening and calling consistently.
Thanks,
we don't exist without listeners, and the shows don't go on the right way without callers.
Thanks, man. The station's been a part 2/3 of my life. So, but anyway, I wanted to say my buddy Ralph from Manhattan, myself and Ralphie, hopefully be back on our station in October. He's down south now, hopefully doing all right. And so we're going to be on the air again talking, hopefully. So we'd love to have you on some morning. You know, we're going to try to get it on like 11 o'clock in the morning. So maybe we could have you on after you go to sleep and wake up a little bit.
Yeah.
Talking to
the sports. Let me know.
So I think I'm definitely going back to the sports format. We did entertainment for a while because Ralph's on PAT down in Patterson in New York, so he has a lot of entertainment stuff. But I'm going back to sports, I think, with them. So I'm going to make them talk sports for an hour. You know, anyway, listen, I got to talk about the Giants. I'm disgusted. My first game was 1972 behind the poles of Yankee Stadium, okay? The problem with this team, and it's been with this for 15 years, is they don't have an offensive line. And I don't care if AT comes back. I love AT. The problem is, why do you go out and get a guy like Brian Burns when you know you have a problem with your left tackle? He's an injured guy, and he did nothing to fix. He did no plan to back it up. There was no plan B by Joe Shane. Now, I'll give you some examples of stupidity yesterday. Let's talk about the first set of downs. You know, Brian Daboll, you got to go down the field, okay? The field is vertical, not horizontal. A 3rd-and-10 play to Rondell Robinson on a screen pass is just dumb. I don't like Kafka. Here's where you get stupid. You know what Daboll reminds me of? He's like a bald-headed version of Jason Garrett. It's like, let's get cute on the 2-yard line. Why don't you just run straight? So then they decide to run straight with Scadaboo, right? And he goes nowhere. Why? Because nobody can block. So I'm questioning right now, Keith, the drafting of Shane and the coaching of Daboll. They even brought in a really great offensive line coach with experience to try to coach these guys. It's a talent issue, okay? And here's my other question for you. Why can't the Giants stop the run? And what's the status of Dexter Lawrence? Because if they don't have him, forget it. They're in big trouble. But my question to you is, year after year after year, and I've said this, I've talked about this with Moose. I've talked about this with Schmalky. I've talked about this with, you know, a million different guys, with Tiki yesterday on the post-game show after the Giant game. Why is it Shane Bowen's defenses can't stop the run? Why is it these guys can't cut the edge year after year, no matter who they bring in? And it drives me crazy. And the other thing is, why does Daboll stay away from the run? Why can't Daboll ever use a screen pass to a back? Why can't Daboll ever use the tight end more than 3 passes? Now, it's not only him, but you have to catch the ball, too. And Russell Wilson, as far as I'm concerned, is done. Stick a fork in him, okay? I would rather see Jackson guard, but you have to get AT back. You have to have that blocking on the left side. To me, Keith, there's the 3 most important guys in football, the cornerback, the quarterback, the cornerback, and the left tackle. That, to me, is so paramount, okay? So I just want to get your thoughts on that. I appreciate the time. But I'm sick and tired of this crap. This is, you know, think about this, Keith, okay? And before I go, this is the 3rd year in a row the Giants haven't scored a touchdown in the opening game. This is, you know when the last time it happened? Like 1945 with the Detroit Lions. It's embarrassing, okay? It's really embarrassing. And I'm telling you, the guy who takes the heat is Shane and Daboll. And the players take responsibility, too. You got to catch the ball. It's not Wilson's fault. And you got to protect them. But until this team, I don't care if you had John Unitas out there, okay, or Dan Fouts or Joe Montana, if you have a crappy offensive line, you're not going anywhere. So I blame the GM for that. I mean, Keith, honestly, could you coach this offensive line seriously? Is there enough talent?
I mean, they got to get a push. Thanks for the call, Robbie. Like, from my little bit of time playing quarterback in college and high school, you can't run the plays if there are guys standing in the backfield. If your offensive line is getting pushed into the backfield, it wreaks havoc. It messes everything up. You know, Robbie said the stat that I have from talking Giants again. The Giants are the first team to not score a touchdown in 3 straight season openers since the Lions did that from 1940 to 1942. And that's what I mean about being a laughing stock. That's what I mean about being a joke of a franchise. Now, like, people are looking at you in the modern day of NFL, and they're like, the Browns are scoring. Look at the Jets putting up 32. The Jaguars are celebrating like they're going to the Super Bowl. I don't know if you guys saw Shad Khan. I gotta send Fleegs that clip. We got to play that, what this guy said. They're just piling on after their coach came into Jacksonville, and I used to spend summers down in Jacksonville. I got a ton of family down there. Happy birthday, Mama Liz. Mama Liz just celebrated her birthday, 86. And she's responsible for 65 great-grandkids. I'll let y'all figure out. She has 7 kids, 23 grandkids, 65 grandkids. Down there in Jacksonville. So what I'm saying is my first NFL stadium I ever went to was Alltel down there when Jacksonville started their franchise. I used to be down there. Here comes Liam Cohen, their new head coach, and he gets on the podium and he goes, Duval. I thought that was so funny because I'd heard my cousins for years say, Duval. And now you got Shad Khan talking about, this is going to go on forever. I got to find that. I know I have that. I know I have that in my notes to send to Fleegs to play the audio. But yeah, back to the Giants, man. Dexter Lawrence, I think I read from Dan Duggan that he was on a little bit of a pitch count. I think because he's a veteran and he's regarded as the like best defensive tackle in football, he's got to get his conditioning right. You can only be conditioned and ready for playing football by playing football games. But Dan Duggan wrote, Dexter Lawrence looked like someone who hasn't played football in a long time. He had a light workload in camp as he was ramped up from the dislocated elbow that ended last season. It seemed like he was on a pitch count, but 70% is consistent with his typical workload. Just a very quiet game. I expect him to play. I don't think that's any problem. I don't know if Andrew Thomas is going to play. And that's you're right about like important positions, the quarterback. The whole NFL is like got to find the quarterback. Also got to protect the quarterback. Also got to rush the passer. Also have to have the most athletic guy you can find to play corner to chase around the most athletic guy on the other side of the field. Giants have some issues at corner. Giants have some issues at left tackle. They have some issues at they have some issues. They have some issues. I don't know when it changes. I don't know if this regime is able to change it. And before we take another call at 888-808-1019, I've said this about Shane and Dable. They came over here with this like book of like how to GM and how to be a head coach. And you know what? The first year it hit. The first year they stole games. But like I give some credit to Wink Martindale's defense, a lot of credit actually, and Dave Gettleman's team. Like what they inherited. But then they had this book that we got to do it our own way. In Buffalo, we drafted and we developed guys or whatever, blah, 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 blah. And if you're watching Hard Knocks, like, you know, they just paid James Cook because they felt like this is a guy we drafted, developed, we want to be here. Cool, I understand that. But, like, you let go of some talented players that have gone on to be, you know, all pro and ball out elsewhere. It doesn't look good when guys leave and do better elsewhere and you're still struggling. So can these guys fix, like, is Joe Shane able to GM and find the right players that match for Brian Dable's scheme? And then also, yeah, his offense is so complicated. Is it too complicated? Is there some type of back and forth between him and Kafka that we don't know? Would Kafka call him plays now, right? He's not doing, I don't know. And I was saying to one of my boys, I still think he's heavily influencing the calls. He might not be calling the plays directly, but he's still heavily influencing the decisions. They have to have a better showing in Dallas. That's it. Russell Wilson, all of them. They have to have a better showing in Dallas this freaking week. And, like, the Cowboys are sitting back watching the film of what the Commanders did. And they're going to be rested, like I said, because they have a couple extra days. And they don't have a problem moving the ball on the Eagles' defense. So how are you going to keep pace with them? How are you going to score? Maybe they can. Maybe they can. I don't know. Andy in Stamford, you're on the Fan next. What you thinking about?
How's it going, Keith? Real quick, that guy, the old guy that called in about the Giants fan from Rhode Island, it's funny because I grew up in that area, and the Giants were a really big team back there, you know, before the Patriots came in. But
like Boston, Connecticut, though, Rhode Island, people rooted for the Giants back then, I guess. Yeah, it makes sense.
Back then they did, yeah. And it's funny because all the Italians are all Yankee fans back up there.
So right.
That's a fun fact to know, too.
And the Giants played in Yankee
But anyway.
Stadium. Yep.
Right. But my point, I did want to bring up, did you really honestly think they had a chance against the Commanders?
I did.
Really think that they did.
I didn't. Then I guess I listened to too much WFAN. I listened to the American Dream Party. I listened to everybody's picks. I listened to all the offseason talk about how it's different. And, like, even though the Commanders were in the NFC Championship, I'm like, let's see. I don't know, man. I fell for it.
Because I honestly think at this point, yeah, it's week one. Everyone overreacts. Everyone's pushing panic buttons left and right. Every team's got, you know, issues, this and that. But the Giants have had issues from day one. Like, they need, I understand they have Russell Wilson in the room. They got famous Jameis, you know. You got this young kid, Dart. I really think if they are 0-3, let's say, they got a tough schedule coming up. Like, you got to put Dart in, see what the kid can do. Because Russell Wilson, the guy's he's like a bag of used balls out there. He can't.
Yeah, he's done.
He's not the Russell Wilson.
Oh, the Steelers fans are much happier with old man Aaron Rodgers. Thanks for the call, Andy. The Steelers fans are much happier with a 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers versus a 36-year-old Russell Wilson. They couldn't get their offense going at all. They lost every single game the rest of the way with Russell Wilson. I think they lost 5 in a row last year, and they left a lot of plays on the table. There was a lot to be had. You know, Russ is also, he's not tall. He's short. It's tough to see. And if you don't have protection, how are you going to see over these linemen getting assaulted? And next thing you know, Javon Kinlaw is in your face. And they got to get crafty. They got to get creative. Move the pocket. Do some other thing. I don't know. If this offensive line is shaky, they got to throw some screen. I don't know. I don't know the answer. It's not just there, because it is just week one. And we are overreacting to week one. And maybe they'll look completely different in week two. But it's hard to believe that, because you are attaching what we saw in this first outing to what we saw in 2024, what we saw in 2023. 888-808-1019. When we come back, I'll play the Jaguars owner post-game celebrating like they won the Super Bowl. They beat the Panthers. Just like, NFL is back, man. Nothing hits like that football hype. Keith McPherson on The Fan.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
BRB.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite team, The Fan, on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
Yes, sir. Right back at it on The Fan in New York City. Your nighttime host, Keith McPherson, checking in for a quick one. 12 to 2, KM to AM. I'll be back tomorrow, well, later tonight, after the first game of the Yankees series. The Yankees should sweep the Tigers. The Tigers just lost back-to-back series at home to the Mets and the White Sox. Not to downplay the Mets, but it's not like the Mets are balling right now. They won't face Tarek Skubal. I believe it is Casey Mize versus Will Warren. And then you will see Carlos Rodon versus... Let me go and look. I don't know off the top of my head. I know that we're pitching Warren, Rodon, Schlittler. Yeah, I don't have it in front of me, but it doesn't matter. They should sweep the Tigers. And then that's one less team you got to worry about. I'm fine with where the Yankees are. I haven't been calling a gauntlet because, like, to me, again, the gauntlet was June of last year. They did not survive that gauntlet. That one hurt them. Well, they actually did survive that gauntlet. They went to the World Series. But, like, that was a gauntlet that put things in a spot in June last year. It was a June boon swoon where we were a little worried, like, hey, what's going on here? But we know they're making the postseason. So to me, this is the Yankees cramming for the final exam. They are cramming for the final exam where, hey, you've got to win 8 out of 12 games, in my opinion. I think you should win every series. But now I'm getting greedy because the umpire stole the sweep from us in that second game in Houston. In your building, sweep the Tigers. They are not looking so great right now, and you're not facing their ace. And I think if you sweep them and you somehow tangle with them in the postseason, they even know. And I've been saying this the whole time, the Tigers don't scare me because, like, I just don't see them coming to the Bronx in October and doing anything with this team that they have. And the Yankees are clicking. You know, they've got everybody's signs, and everybody knows that they got the signs and they're relaying them, whatever. And, you know, they won some close games over the weekend. And Max Fried did what he had to do. You know, like, you know, the Yankees are doing well when Devin Williams is figuring it out. You know, the Yankees are doing well when they're overcoming. Like, they can play Anthony Volpe right now. And I'm so tired of this conversation because it has literally turned into something now that I just don't feel good about. Like Volpe is broken, but they refuse to admit it. But they're playing Volpe. They're starting Volpe. You are watching consistent Volpe, terrible at bats. Fans booing them. You're watching Volpe have terrible mechanics, fielding and throwing the ball, and they're winning. They're winning. So the Yankees got to continue winning. Take 2 out of 3. I'd like to see you sweep the Tigers because I think that's the momentum you need to ride into Boston with. 888-808-1019. We're not talking about the New York Yankees, though. The story is the Giants because that was another deflating, upsetting week one start. And I don't know when they're getting their first win. I think maybe the Saints game. I'm not sure what they do here to snap out of it. There are a lot of problems. There are a lot of holes, and it seems like this could have been avoided. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know how it changes in a week's time to go to Dallas, and all of a sudden you're gonna have to put up 30 points to beat the Dallas Cowboys in their building. The New York Field Goal Giants. Like, I hate that name. It's like it just rings true. It's a funny joke, but it's like it's not even a joke anymore. It's Graham Gano. Let's go to Carlos in Clifton, New Jersey. Carlos, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, what's up?
You know, talking.
I think this guy, he dug his grave this game. It's like watching Charlie Brown trying to kick the ball every time Lucy says, "I'm going to let you kick it. I'm going to let you kick it." This thing is incredible already. Look, what I watched. I mean, our defense didn't play that bad. They kept us in the game. I saw that first drive or the second drive where I think the game plan was they saw Neighbors being double teamed and the safety over the top almost triple teamed, and they started feeding Wandale Robinson, and he was eaten. Nobody could tell me he wasn't.
Yeah.
Because whoever was trying to hold him, he was getting 7-8 yards a pop. Then all of a sudden, Neighbors gets upset, and we change the game plan.
Sure.
Let's go back. We got to get him the ball. We got to get him the ball. Like, I understand. We have no line. If you can't run the ball, you're not going to be able to throw the ball. And that's just football. Like, our line is just horrible. Cam Scatterbull comes in, gives him a little fire, cup three plays there, and then all of a sudden you don't see him for the rest of the game. Like, I just don't understand what we're doing.
Seems like they're trying to make it up on the fly. They're trying to please everybody. Now, there's got to be a game plan. Everybody's got to be on the same page, bought in. And if it doesn't work, I don't know. It didn't work. So,
Keith, one more thing. If these Giants fans, can they stop with the we need Dart? This is David Carr 2.0. You cannot put Dart in there with this offensive line. The kid is going to get killed. Whatever good he has is going to get the mark. We can't put the kid in there.
No.
Get Jameis Winston in there. Let him rock for a little bit. Wilson can't see over the offensive line. I don't know how he's trying to do sidearm passes. You can't see anything. They got to get Jameis Winston there, and I'll let you go, Keith.
Thanks for the call, Carlos. Yeah, I agree. You know, he's trying to do sidearm passes. He's just trying to make it work, and he's doing what he's seen guys like Jackson Dart, you know, guys like Patrick Mahomes do. He's done. There's no country for old quarterbacks. I don't see him turning back the clock here. He can know every defense. He can know the playbook. Like I say, he's a short stature guy. He's dropping back, and he's in the forest. He's deep in the forest. He can't see Malik Neighbors. He's trying to just heave it up. Yeah, you know, looking at the, like, and they got to establish the run. But they can't establish the run with that offensive line. But you got three good running backs. You got to establish the run. 74 rushing yards. And when you look at the box score, you're like, oh, who's their leading rusher? Russell Wilson running for his life. Malik Neighbors had 12 targets, but the Commanders had a good
game plan to stop him. And you know what? If you're looking at the Giants, who are you going to stop? Who are you going to focus on stopping? If you're a defensive coordinator game planning to stop the Giants, you say number one over there, out there, can't let him beat us. Let Russ beat us. If Russ wants to rush for 44 yards, that ain't going to beat us. Let Wandale Robinson beat us. We don't got a guy that can run with a little shifty Wandale Robinson. Wandale Robinson's not going to actually beat you. He'll have some plays. He'll be flexing. It's not going to be enough. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have the answers yet. It's just week one. I don't have the answers yet of how this changes. I think the defense has enough guys to, as they play more together, they're going to be solid. I think I saw Abdul Carter was the highest graded defensive player. I love Abdul Carter's Darth Vader choke. Did you see when he got the sack? He went and did the Darth Vader choke. Well, he got the half sack, and then he did the Jedi. Anyway, and Brian Burns looks like he's put in some work this year, and he's motivated to really stand out and be the guy that you traded for and gave $150 million to. The secondary, Drew Phillips made a great tackle on Deebo Samuel. That kid is real. They have some players there. It's tough to see Micah McFadden, have to exit the game. I don't know. I think Javon Holland is a good addition that you're going to be happy you have. But ultimately, man, the defense doesn't get to really shine when there's no point. If the defense holding them to 21 points, 7 in the first quarter, even I had said at half, great job. Good team score before the half. Great job not letting them score. But the Giants couldn't score. I think it was 13 attempts in the red zone, and you can't draw anything up. And that's where I look at Brian Daboll and I'm like, yo, you're supposed to be some type of offensive mastermind. You're supposed to be some type of guru. Where's it at, though? You don't have anything. Come on, man. The best coordinators in the league can have some motion, misdirection, crossing route, pick play, something. You got the Steelers running Jonnu Smith across the formation, Aaron Rodgers flipping it to him getting to the pylon. You don't have something like that? I don't know. They have to, with as complex as this offense is supposed to be and Dable's system and him being such a mastermind. Where is it at, though? Is it all on Russell Wilson? Russell Wilson, he went head first. I think he got stopped at the 3. My remark to that was, Russell Wilson's trying to start the Jackson Dart era today. That whole one play away thing, Russell Wilson's out there taking hits and he was running. He is literally one play away, but I would change the depth chart. Even if you don't officially change the depth chart, I would change it when, the next game comes. I would change it to just be James, be ready, bro. Be ready, bro. We can't sacrifice Jackson Dart because everything is riding on this young man. We can't throw him into the fire so quickly because we don't want to ruin him. You ruin him, we get fired, and then what? Somebody else is in here coaching him. He's learning a new system. 888-808-1019. John is in Brooklyn on the fan. What's up, John?
Yeah, what's up, Keith? I normally call you complaining about the Yankees all the time, but I'm actually liking them right now. I think they're playing with grit. And I have no complaints. I think they're going to finish the season strong, and I really think they're going to win this division. But
hey, it's right there for us. Yep.
Yeah, it's right there, right in front of us, right?
You got it.
But, hey, listen, maybe Aaron Boone's right. Maybe it's right in front of us. But this Giants thing, I don't really have an answer on what's supposed to happen at quarterback. O-lines across the league are breaking down because defensive linemen, they're just animals. It's now the league of the mobile quarterback, and that used to be Russell Wilson's bread and butter, and he doesn't have it anymore. To be a pocket passer, he never was that guy. He was always a slinger that could move and create space, and then they could the receivers could then find themselves open after they had taken a million different cuts, and that's not really happening for him anymore. I don't know who the quarterback should be. Should it be Jameis? Should it be Dart? Should it be Russell with a good talking to? all I'm saying, like, my most concern is all of his passes were short or behind receivers.
Yeah.
He's going to get these, like, Wandell was diving all over the field trying to catch up to those balls, and he's going to get these receivers hurt the way that he's throwing the ball. Like, yeah. He's just not.
What's crazy is he used to be so accurate. That was, like, a thing with him. He could put the ball right on a guy. But he's skittish now because he's scared. He's running for his life. He's old. He's not trying to get hit. He's not trying to get killed. So if you can't set your feet and make the throw, like, that's where I'll say Jameis is going to let it rip. Jameis is going to throw it downfield. Jameis is going to take the hit and make the throw. Jameis is fearless.
He can't really run, but he'll try. He's going to be kissing his cross and saying he's going to always believe, like, what he sees down the field and believe it's going to happen.
Yep.
And that's what we love about Jameis. You know, but at the same time, like, you know, the interceptions are always going to be there, too. All I'm saying is that Russell's going to get these receivers hurt the way he's throwing. They really have to figure out a better plan because I don't want to see Malik Nabers get hurt. I don't want to see Hyatt get hurt. We have a really great
core. You're not going to see Hyatt get hurt. He's not going to get any action. Thanks for the call, Joe. Hyatt didn't play. He got zero snaps. You know, even a captain on the team in Darius Slayton had one target. How do you have Russell Wilson throw 37 passes when he's under duress? So I guess because you're trying to get Malik Nabers the ball. Your offensive line doesn't allow you to do certain things, so they're going to learn from this film. They're going to watch the film. They're going to adjust. And then they got to come into Dallas with a different look, a different game plan, try some different things, and that may work. The first 2 weeks of the NFL season are glorified preseason. Mark my words on this. There is a team that won in week one that people are going to just across the board pick as a lock for week two, and they're going to lose. There's a team that lost week one, and same thing's going to happen for them. Oh, they didn't look good in week one. They're going to lose, and they're going to look better in week two. I don't know. It might be like the Bengals. Who the Bengals got this week? You know, the Bengals, they should have lost. And Jamar Chase, they didn't do anything with him. Perfect game for it, right? The Bengals versus the Jaguars. People are probably going to think, oh, the Jaguars beat the Panthers. And the Panthers aren't any good. And the Bengals, they won. And Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase, they'll be a lock to beat. And nobody knows. Actually, I did want to play Fleegs. Let's cue up the Shahad Khan, Shaka Khan, as Chris Russo called him. After the game, the owner of the Jaguars, and the Jaguars could be one of my potential teams that if I'm looking at new teams, the Bills are in there, the Jaguars are in there. Of course, the Jets and Giants are in there, but obviously they're not high up there. But the Jaguars having family there, being in that stadium. Here is the Jaguars owner after the Jaguars' week one victory against the Panthers. He's super hyped up, and here's what he had to say to the team giving out the game ball. Oh, I don't know if that came through. I don't know if we have that. Oh, okay. I mean, I know I sent the bad link on the second one. The first one was a bad link. The second one is the right link.
This is what we envisioned in January, okay?
Yes, sir.
It's happening here in September. Gonna go on forever.
Yeah. Hey, y'all, way to take it easy. Everybody relax. He beat the Panthers and his new head coach and his 34-year-old GM who drafted Travis Hunter. They beat the Panthers week one in their building. He said this is going to go on forever. This is the hype that we fall into. This is the overreactions that we fall into. The football hype, it is a drug that hits harder than anything. And let's see what happens in week two. The Giants got to have a better showing. They got to find the end zone against the Dallas Cowboys. Joe is in Red Bank on the fan next. Go for it, Joe.
Hey, Keith, how you doing? I just want to let you know I'm a Ocean Township alumni.
So am I. Go Big Red.
Go Big Red. I'm just curious. I know you're on the fence about you were a Cowboys fan like I am.
Yeah, I grew up a Cowboys fan. I'm grown now is what I've been telling people. I grew out of it.
Yeah, I'm still a fan. I haven't given up on them yet. But I'm just curious how you feel about how they did against the Eagles.
Yeah, I think they came out and they looked good. I think obviously there was a big swing with Jalen Carter not being there, arguably the best player on their defense and a guy that you have to account for every play. CeeDee Lamb, he can't drop passes like that with the contract that he demanded last year and got. He's one of the highest paid receivers in the league. He was cooking. Like, him and Dak were so on point.
Until the end.
Until the end. And that's where you make the big bucks. Dak did what he had to do. And it was, I think, the anniversary of Dak's mother's birthday. Not her passing, but I think her birthday. It was Dak's mother's birthday. And she's, you know, he balled. He had a hell of a game. Miles Sanders, another one. In his revenge game, you can't put the ball on the turf. You can't fumble there. After you had a big run that Dory Jackson helped spring, I think that they have it on offense. I love this new offensive line that the Cowboys put together, right? They've moved on from Tyron Smith and Zach Martin and Travis Frederick. And all of a sudden now you have Tyler Booker and Tyler Guyton and Connor Beebe and Terrence Steele. And like they're good. Like they have a good offensive line of young, talented guys on top of skill position players. I like Kayvon Turpin as well. Like they're going to score points. If they keep Dak healthy, they're going to be able to score points. The defense obviously has to figure it out now without Micah Parsons, but I think they're going to win some games. I think they'll be more competitive than people think.
The defense looks good without Micah Parsons. Is there any chance of you coming back to being a fan of the Cowboys?
Sure. I think it's got to be once Jerry Jones is out of there. Thanks for the call, Joe. You know, I can't root for Jerry Jones. I'm rooting for Jerry Jones to stop. Like I don't think that they're going to win anything until Jerry Jones is gone. You know, I've turned my back on Jerry Jones. Like, even with the Yankees, in the chat, I saw Karan in the chat was like, yo, you back on the ride? No, I'm not back on the ride. But as I think about it, like, I really got off the ride because of Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman, right? Because of how much they just have to throw Devin Williams, and they're still doing it. And so I'm like, I can't get jiggy with this, man. I'm not going to be on this ride knowing that you guys will crash and burn with Devin Williams, that you're just so committed to this guy you traded for. You just gotta come on, bro. We're trying to win. Don't do that. But I can't get off the Yankee ride. I'll see y'all at the game. Not tomorrow. I'm gonna go to the game. Actually, tomorrow. Yeah, I'm gonna go Wednesday. And then the last homestand, I'm trying to go to like probably 4 or 5 of those games. All right, that's all I got, man. That's my time. It's a quick one, you know. Little 2 hour cam to AM after Monday Night Football. We'll have 3 hours, hopefully, tonight if the Yankees don't go extras. And then we'll talk more baseball. Really couldn't unpack too much. I know the Met fans don't want to talk to me about Francisco Alvarez last at bat and not getting that run in. C-Max coming up next. Maybe he'll talk a little Mets. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Fan.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.